Our text this evening comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians. We'll be reading the whole chapter. Thessalonians chapter 1. Here we are. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. People of God, this is God's very word. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy. To the church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of our God and Father, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had with you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. And there ends the reading of God's word this evening. Let us pray. Father God, as we open your word this evening, will you open the eyes of our hearts that we may know the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory, and the surpassing greatness of your power towards us in Christ Jesus. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, 2 weeks ago, we started on this journey to learn about the Thessalonians. We took a week off because of snow, but that's okay. We learned that the Apostle Paul and a couple of his companions planted a church in Thessalonica. And we looked at that planting in the book of Acts. We looked and saw the beginning of the church that was planted there. And we saw Paul and Silvanus that they taught in the synagogue there for 3 weeks. They told us 3 Sabbaths. That's all they had. But then we read, by the power of the Holy Spirit, a church was planted there. And it flourished. A church where the gospel was preached and dead came to life. Think about it. In the Christian life, we don't go from life to death. We go from death to life. And that's what was happening in this church that was planted. But you think, all right, things are going to go great now. And no. They didn't, did they? Life didn't get easier for the Thessalonians. If you remember the text when it said, those who were not persuaded went and got rebel rousers, people that were in the streets. And I remember I said, I wrote down in my notes, the not nice guys of town, they went and got those. And remember, they couldn't find Paul. But they found the place where he was staying, and they took Jason and who was there, and they beat him for the gospel. And it got so bad that they told Paul and Silvanus, hey, you guys got to leave town. And they did. And they didn't do it in the middle of the day. They didn't do it when people saw. No, they left in the middle of the night when nobody saw. So tonight we're going to dive into this letter that Paul and Silvanus and Timothy write to them. We're going to find out what's happened since they left in the middle of the night. You might be thinking, well, they were there for 3 weeks, and then the Apostle Paul left, and persecution happened, so this church probably isn't there anymore. The church probably just faded away. But that's the exact opposite that happened, isn't it? That's why this letter is so encouraging for us today. To think about a church where it's just the power of the gospel that warms everybody up to go out and tell everybody about Jesus. No matter what they face, no matter the persecution that comes against them. The Thessalonians stood strong by the power of the Holy Spirit in their faith, love, and hope. And they proclaimed Jesus. So much so that Paul tells us that all of Greece knew about it. When we read in our text where it says Macedonia and Achaia, that's just northern Greece and southern Greece. Saying everybody knew about the Thessalonians' faith. How amazing is that? Sometimes we forget how powerful the gospel really is. 3 weeks. Beloved, I believe the more we read these letters about these churches, about the first century church and what they had to go through, the more we're going to start seeing more and more similarities about today. That's why it's good for us to be in these letters, to go through the letter of Thessalonians, to know that trials and persecutions, when they come, it's okay. Because that's when the church grows. That's when those in the church who are just there for the social club, they're not going to handle the persecution. They're slowly going to fade away. And the true church of Christ is just going to shine bright in that fire, like the Thessalonians. It'll be good to see how they responded. It'll be good to see the questions that they have for Paul that we can learn from. How they dealt with persecution. So like I said, Paul and Silvanus, or how we read in Acts, his name is Silas, and Silvanus is just a Latinized form, so don't get confused thinking there's two different people. Silas and Silvanus are the same guy. And then we find out in the letter that Timothy is there with them as well. So Paul, Silas, and Timothy, as they're away, they're like, oh, in their heart, they're just praying profusely for this church. And then Paul can't take it anymore. And he says, Timothy, you know, go by yourself. Go check on the Thessalonians. Timothy's probably in his early 30s. And this is some time where he can get on a bus or a plane. No, he had to walk and get on a boat. He goes and checks on the Thessalonians to see how they're doing. And when he comes back, he is overjoyed at the news of what he hears about the Thessalonians. And he writes this letter of encouragement. We start at verse 1. And it's just Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy. To the church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Just a simple entry. A simple introduction to this church. And one of the things we can pick up on is how simple it is. Right? It's not like Paul, an apostle. Like some of the letters he had to write. Think of the Galatians. He has to step up and show that he is an apostle of God. So he writes that right away. Paul, an apostle of Christ. But not here. Or you think of the book of Romans when Paul writes, Paul, the servant of Christ Jesus. But we know he is. He doesn't have to write that here either. He just writes Paul, Silvanus, Timothy. It's like they're family. There's no need for titles. And family, is there? There's no need to puff up your chest of who you are with family. You imagine, I can imagine if I, at Christmas, I went and saw my family in California and they said, well, you know, I'm a minister now, so you need to call me Reverend Ogle. They think, that this guy's silly. They wouldn't, you know, you don't do that with family. And that's why I believe Paul doesn't do it here. Because this is a letter of encouragement to family members. And I love how he says this. To the church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes when we read these letters, we just fly through those first couple verses, don't we? Yes, okay, I got to get to the good stuff. The greeting, okay. Now what's in there? No. Paul has a reason for writing these words. In every letter that he writes, there's a little hint of where he wants to go in the letter that he writes. So what's he tell them? He doesn't just say to the church of the Thessalonians. No, he says to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to reassure them who they are now, that they're not part of the world, that they've been separated. He wants to help them in their faith, to tell them, no, you're not Gentiles anymore. No, you're in God. You're in Christ. It's an identity thing. And he's building it into them. The Thessalonians have turned away from their idols, as we will read. They've turned away from their false past of pagan worship. And they've entered into the kingdom of God. And they serve the true king. They're dual citizens now. Kind of like us. They still live under Roman rule. But they're pilgrims going to the promised land, just like we are. Do you think about it that way? Our daily life, dual citizens, still here, still 1 foot here, but 1 foot in the kingdom of God, heading to the promised land. That's our true identity. We've passed from darkness to light, haven't we? That's the core of our being. And that's the hardest thing to remember. We're in the world, when the world's just shoving everything in our faces about who they want us to be. Oh, it's okay that you're a Christian, but you shouldn't be that way. You should think more like us. No. Deep inside, we're in Christ. We have a new identity. And that's what Paul's trying to get to the Thessalonians, for them to understand who they are now. Because when you read through the letter, it's amazing how well they did for having Paul only there for 3 weeks. Amazing. That the power of the Spirit knew that this church was going to be a beacon of light in Macedonia. How are we doing? That's the question. Are we a beacon of light for the Lord? Have we thrown away our idols? Are we following false gods and not even realizing it? Do we remember that we're on our way to the promised land? Because you know what the world's going to say? It's just a little pinch to Caesar. How bad can it be? What harm can it do? That's where we're going. That's what the Thessalonians had to deal with every day. It's just a little pinch to Caesar. You see, what the Thessalonians had to do is all these towns in the Roman world had a little bust of Caesar, a little incense fire. And to show that you had allegiance to Caesar, you'd walk to it and you'd sprinkle some incense in the fire and you'd say, Caesar is Lord. What? And they stopped. But I think that's where we're headed in this world too. They're going to tell us, it's just a little pinch. Why do you Christians have to be so uptight? You can't just do a little pinch. Are we going to be able to stand strong? That should be our prayer. So when we continue to verse 2, when Paul says, we give thanks to God always for you all. For you all. He's not from Texas. For you all. Making mention of you in our prayers. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, and your patience of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the sight of our God and Father. So we get to the first section of this text. It's how the gospel came to the Thessalonians, and it changed their lives. And he shows you a list of how it changed their lives. So when Timothy returns to Paul and he tells him, you won't believe what's going on in Thessalonica. He's so happy. He just wants to thank God. He tells him, thank you, Lord. The thanksgiving is overflowing in this beginning of this letter. He wants to show the Thessalonians, the God you worship isn't one of these other gods in the pantheon. No, this is the God. And this is what he's doing in your church, in your city. He wants to know that these three virtues that he reminds them of, they're given by the Holy Spirit. It wasn't something that was just in them and they had to work on. No, the Holy Spirit gave them these three things, these three virtues of faith, love, and hope. And the thing is, in the church of the New Testament, those come up over and over again. Faith, hope, and love. Faith, love, and hope. It's almost like the Holy Spirit kind of gives it to them and gives it to us. If you were truly chosen by God, these are things that just come out of us. Faith, love, hope. You see, Paul isn't patting them on their back. Oh, you guys, great job. No. He's thanking God. He wants them to understand this, that it's not them that is doing all these things, but that it's the Holy Spirit. He says Holy Spirit in here over and over again, telling them it's not them. It's because of God that their work is a work of faith. It's because of God that their labor is a labor of love. And it's because of God that their patience is a patience of hope. The Thessalonians is a church who believed God, put their trust in him. They're people of faith. And as we can see, it's not something that they hid, is it? They didn't hide their faith because they were afraid of those around them, their neighbors. No, their faith was being shown by their deeds to one another. They were doers, not just hearers of the word. Boys and girls, this is for the little ones, not the high schoolers. But you guys probably heard this too. How many of you heard, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. That's what he's telling them. Think of that. That's how they're living their lives. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This is what Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, isn't it? Jesus says this, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives us light to the whole house. The Thessalonians were the light in Macedonia. They didn't hide it. It was on a stand for all to see. This is what Jesus also says. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. And that's exactly what the Thessalonians did. They shined their light. And the thing is, they didn't do it to earn anything, did they? They weren't doing all these works to earn salvation or to earn God's love. No. Salvation is by God alone, right? Grace alone, by faith alone, Christ alone. But we see this work that they're doing is going out and changing the culture. Paul's telling them, wow, look what the Lord is doing. This labor of love. Look what the Lord is doing. And their patience of hope. You know, later in chapter 4, Lord willing, we'll get there. But he commends them for all this work they're doing. Because he knows that the gospel is expanding, the kingdom of God is growing because of the work being done in this church that they stopped there for 3 weeks. It was like a self-sacrificing love. That labor of love that he's talking about. Because the more they loved on their neighbors, the more they seemed different to them. We have that today, don't we? The more we show love to our neighbors, Christ-like love to them, the more they know these people are different. The kind of love that only comes from the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus says. Jesus says, they're going to know us by our love. So do we love? Does Christ's light shine from us because we love? For the Thessalonians, all of Greece knew. And the last virtue that Paul reminds them of is their patience and hope. And it's not just any hope. It's a weird word that he uses there for patience of hope. It's a hope that's steadfast. It's locked on. The hope that to know that what God started, he's going to finish. That's the word that Paul uses there. No, the hope of knowing what God has begun to do in their lives because of the death and resurrection of Christ. Nothing's going to change that. No matter how upside down this world gets, that hope that we have that one day Christ is going to return. Do you have that hope? Do you have patience in that hope? Is it a steadfast hope that you know you could, it's rock solid, you could hold on to it? Jesus says this when he's praying. He says, of those whom you gave me, I have lost none. You can hold on to that. It's having an endurance to know that when the trials and persecutions come, they're only for a little bit. They're only temporary. So when we read this letter, does our lives show these three virtues? A work of faith, a labor of love, a patience of hope. You know, mine doesn't all the time. Honestly, right? But it's something we should strive for. We should pray for these daily. Lord, give us these three virtues so that your kingdom will grow and that you'll return. And now Paul, he shifts gears the tiniest bit. And he's thankful for God in verse 4 for this. Knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. See, Paul's not afraid to tell this predominantly Gentile church that they were elect by God. You know, sometimes we're afraid of that word. You know, in certain churches, you don't want to say election. People get upset. But their election was a sure thing, Paul tells them. And people are so afraid, if you tell someone you're elect, they're just going to stop doing things, right? They're going to become the frozen chosen. They're not going to want to do anything. But we can see the example of the Thessalonians. That's not true. No, Paul wants them to know that God has elected them. And remember what Paul wrote to the Ephesians, that God chose them in Christ before the foundations of the world. Think of that. God chose you in Christ before the foundation of the world, out of his good pleasure, not based on anything that we have done or that we're going to do. Paul sees in them election. And it's a sure thing. And he wants them to know that. And he continues to encourage them by calling them this, beloved brethren. In the English, it just says beloved brethren. But in the original Greek, it says brothers loved by God. It's what God said to the Hebrews in the Old Testament. So right now, Paul is telling this predominantly Gentile church. He's saying, you are the people of God. You now, with them, have been called to be people loved by God. That's important for us to hear today, isn't it? And you can think of the Thessalonians hearing that, but how often do we hear that? Sometimes we forget. You know, people living in darkness. People coming from where you can choose any God you want. See, that's kind of the opposite for us, isn't it? Because the world now doesn't want any God. They're atheists. But to hear that there is a God, and this is a God who created the universe, and guess what? He chose you before the foundation of the world to love you, to send his son to die for you, that one day when he comes back, that we can live with him forever. See how encouraging this letter is? That's powerful. That makes you want to live your life different, doesn't it? That's a blessing to know. When we're watching the news on our phones or on TV, and you just think, this world's spinning out of control. That's okay. Because God has you. He loves you. And he's going to return for you. That's the encouragement that we're hearing from Paul tonight. So we jump down to verse 5. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. So what he's telling them is the gospel's not a pep talk. When he was there, no, he was giving the words of life. They preached the gospel of Jesus. Remember what Paul said? What he told the Thessalonians, he explained and demonstrated that Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, this Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ. That's the gospel. He was explaining to them that you need a Savior. And they're like, yeah, okay. Think of all the gods that they could think about. No, there's just one God. Just one. And you're a sinner. But he loved you. So how's he going to fix that? Well, he's going to send his perfect son, who has no sin. And he's going to become sin for you. And not only that, but he has to be put to death. See, that's what he explained to them. He had to suffer, but he had to rise again on the third day. That's the Jesus whom he preached. And that's, I hope, is the Jesus that we always hear from the scriptures being preached. There's power in those words. And he wants to let them know that these weren't just life coaches who showed up in town and left one night. No, he says that. He lets them know, you know what kind of men we were among you. And what's he trying to get at there? That sounds weird. You know, remember, they had to leave town in the middle of the night. What do you think their worldly neighbors are going to say about those two guys? You know, they couldn't say goodbye. They just had to leave. How many times do you think their neighbors said, those guys, they were just charlatans trying to take your money. Look, they left and nobody knew. Come back to your real life. Come back over here. You don't need this Jesus anymore. How often do you think they had to hear that? But Paul says, no, you know what kind of men we were among you. Look what the Holy Spirit has done. We came and we imitated Christ to you. Because that's what we're called to do. And when we get to verse 6, it describes the Thessalonians' response. That the gospel sounded forth, it says. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you, the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything. And they were just following Paul's example. And Paul was following Jesus' example. They became imitators. And that's what Paul would do. You think Paul's in Corinth when he's writing this letter to the Thessalonians. And he writes to Corinth the same thing. He says this in 1 Corinthians 11:1. He says, be imitators of me as I'm an imitator of Christ. And what's great about that is we know that's what Jesus did with his disciples. That's what he did. Paul's just saying, hey, look, I'm imitating Christ. You can imitate me. And the kingdom of God's going to grow. The sad thing is, and the sad thing we're going to need to know, is that the more we imitate Christ, the more the world's not going to like us. Did you catch what it was said in verse 6? That having received the word in much affliction. So the more we imitate Christ, the more the pressures are going to come on us. The more that's what's going to make us want to stop. You know, I asked my high schoolers, because if you don't know who I am, I'm the chaplain at Linda Christian High School. I probably should have said that a while ago. But I'm with high schoolers every day. And I bug them. I try not to bug them, but I do bug them. And I say these, I say like, are you ever afraid to pray over your meal at lunch in front of your friends? And you see their eyes go like this. Well, no. I'm like, well, I don't see you praying. And I joke around with them and stuff, but I'm being serious with them. I'm at a Christian school and we're afraid to pray over our meals in front of other Christians. Sometimes we don't want to be different. But we're called to be different, aren't we? We're called to follow and imitate Christ. And sometimes we're going to do it in much affliction. But that's going to be okay. And suffering is normal in this life. We know that. There's joy in suffering. We read that in Scripture. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that testing of your faith develops perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Are we imitators of Christ, of Paul? Think of what the letter to the Hebrews says. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So we're to look to Jesus. Do we do it? Because Paul's encouraging us to do it. That's what we're getting out of the text tonight. And we're looking to the Thessalonians and thinking, well, if they only had the gospel for 3 weeks, we've had the gospel for a lot longer than 3 weeks. We can do it. Paul's encouraging us. I'm encouraging you to imitate Christ in the world today. To know things could get bad, but that's okay because we have patience and hope. Christ is the rock. If we've built on the rock, we're okay. When we jump down to verse 10, it says, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. You see, here's the thing. We'll face wrath here on earth, but it's nothing like the wrath we would face if we weren't in Christ. That should scare us. But we wait. We wait on Jesus. We have hope that he'll come. Because he said he would. Remember, he said he left to build us mansions in heaven. There's a room in heaven waiting for you. And that's what Paul taught the Thessalonians. Wait. Wait for Jesus. And when we wait for him, sure, it might hurt. Sure, it's going to be unpleasant. Sure, they're going to start calling us names. It's okay. You don't think Jesus was called names? You don't think Paul was called names? My prayer is that it doesn't get too bad. That we don't have to see our kids get hurt for Jesus. That's my prayer. I pray it a lot. Sometimes I'm afraid. But I teach them to have this hope in Christ. That he's our rock. He'll protect us. And when it gets really bad, it's okay because we don't have to face the wrath to come. They do. The world does. And that's a sad thing. And that's why we want to preach the gospel, to get it out there for them. So, beloved, the first chapter of Thessalonians is an encouragement to us. It's to help us go, okay, we can do this. That's my prayer. We can do this. It's going to be okay. Be encouraged. Have faith. Have love. Have patience and hope. Let's pray. Father God, oh Lord, we pray for those things. We pray that you're with us. We pray to give us strength that when things turn south, it's going to be okay. When the world tells us it's just a pinch, we say no. Our King is Jesus. Can you give us the boldness for that, Lord? Can you walk alongside us with your Spirit? Can you help us to show people love, your love? That they could hear your words, and then that they could come to you as well. So they don't have to worry about the wrath to come, because you paid for that wrath on the cross for those who are in Christ Jesus. What a blessing it is to know that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.